Today's gospel is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and then it's explained in 36 to 46, as this is another one of the allegorical parables that Jesus tells his followers. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you'll uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then to verse 36. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's readings vividly remind us that there are forces of evil that oppose God. As we heard in that parable, that there is an evil one and he's sowing weeds. And I was thinking about today is we are called to be an active witness. And in order to be an active witness, you have to first know what you're witnessing about. And the reality about Christianity is it is three things. It is an adventure. It is a battle. And it is a free gift. Shepherd of the Hills, as we've been talking about these last 4 weeks, as our aspirational value, our goal, that Shepherd of the Hills is a place where people experience good, or as we said last week, experience good, right? Get to be the living church and become active witnesses. So as I thought, to be a witness, you need to know what you're witnessing to. So this is that invitation again to the Christian life, inviting you to an adventure, a battle, and a free gift. Faith in God is an adventure. What does that mean? Well, in the storm, Jesus walked out to his disciples when they were afraid in the boat. The storm had risen up, and the waves were too much, and they were afraid because they thought they would all drown. And they saw Jesus walking on the water to meet his disciples. And in that moment, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." Now, I don't know about you, but that image of walking on water in the middle of a lake is quite profound, and I would say that is nothing less than an adventure. There were these three pastors fishing one day in Minnesota, though, and it was a rabbi, a priest, and a Protestant pastor. It's always that, right? So they got out on the boat, they're fishing, and the pastor said, oh, I forgot our lunch. And so I'll go get it. So he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water and got the lunch and came back and walked on the water all the way back. And the rabbi is quite astounded at this. And next, they said, oh, we forgot the plates for the lunch. So the priest said, well, I'll take care of that. And he steps out of the boat and he walks across the water, comes back with the plates. And the rabbi is just, his mouth is dropping. He can't believe it. Well, finally, they realize, you know what? We forgot our drinks. And the rabbi said, well, I'll go get those. And he steps out of the boat and sinks to the bottom. And the priest said to the pastor, do you think we should have told them where the rocks are? But walking on the water, that's an adventure, isn't it? How could you not believe that Jesus is calling us to an adventure when he's calling us to walk out in faith and talk to people that are strangers or love people who are difficult? You can go places you never dreamed of when you walk in faith, because God can call you all over the world. We have missionaries we support everywhere, and they are on an adventure. It's not an easy adventure, is it? It's challenging, and it is fulfilling. The Bible gives us countless examples of men and women who are walking by faith, and they experience in their life in God a much larger purpose than just, you know, living day to day and providing for your family. Life in God is an adventure. I love how the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, speaks of that in chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. It says, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Accomplish abundantly more is quite an adventure. Today in the reading that you heard from Romans, it speaks about hope. And I was thinking about that. Doesn't every adventure begin with hope? Because you hope when you go somewhere that you're going to experience something new or learn something new or see something that you hadn't seen before. Paul writes in that section of Romans, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. One of my favorite activities is hiking. And this is a little warm right now for hiking. But when it's a little cooler here or going up in the mountains, I love hiking. And, you know, one thing about hiking that is fantastic is you hope for what you're going to see, but you're not really sure what it is until you get there. We did a hike in Spur Creek Ranch area north of Cave Creek one time, and we kind of decided, let's spontaneously go to a thing called Elephant Mountain. Okay, it's not that far. It's pretty far, but it wasn't that far, we thought. And we got to Elephant Mountain. We got to the saddle below Elephant Mountain, and we looked up and we said, what if we just climbed Elephant Mountain? Let's do it. And we walked up there, and to our surprise, there are ancient, like, native ruins there. There's walls, and it's like a fortress almost. And we're like, that is so cool. We would have never known that was even here unless we went. But there's this hope on an adventure. You hope to see something that is new, or you hope to see something that is real. That now, the walking and hiking has its challenges. There's perhaps streams to cross. There's cold weather, there's rain and monsoons, there's too hot a weather, you might run into a rattlesnake or another wild animal, but all that I see as part of the adventure, and it's fun, and it's challenging. And I see faith that way too. It's like this dance, this adventure, this wonderful thing with Jesus. For me as a younger man, that was definitely a draw to believing in Jesus Christ, because I didn't want to live a boring, dull, and trite life. I wanted to live for something bigger than myself. There's a song that we haven't sung here for quite a while, but it's called it's called. Do you know that song? Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? It might come to me. I wrote the lyrics down a little bit, but I can't think of it. It's called, anyway. It goes, you call me out on the waters. It's called Oceans. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Where feet may fail. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery and oceans deep. My faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waters where oceans rise. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours and you are mine. That's that depicting that story of Jesus calling Peter out onto the waters. And that is what faith is. It's walking where we don't know exactly where we're going. It's an adventure. And God calls us to that. Secondly, faith is also a battle. Thank you, Dean, for bringing the shield today and the arrows, because that is exactly what it depicts in Ephesians. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Martin Luther put it this way, that faith in God of the Bible is a war. It's a war against the devil, our sinful self, and death. And we see that there's trouble in the world. We see that there's injustice. We see that there is evil. And it's hard to hold on to faith when times are rough. And sometimes it's even a battle to believe in Jesus when you see what's going on in the world. One of my seminary professors put it this way, said that faith is 51% trust and 49% doubt. It's like that close, that we're just like going, God, where are you in the midst of this hard thing? I want to believe in you, but man, there's a lot of things that are telling me that it's not working out. But faith is a battle, and yet we know that someday, and even in our lifetime, and we see it all the time, that God does also put things right. And he will truly return. We know that in the end, all things will be set right. But until he returns, we are in a battle. That's what the parable talked about today, a fight between what is right and good and true. That battle is described that we have the armor, as I shared with Dean. We have the armor to protect us from what the devil will throw at us. But we also know that he will throw these things at us. And that's what the parable is about that Jesus taught on today. This kingdom of heaven, good seed has been sown by the sower, Jesus, and it grows, and that's the children of God. But there's also evil all around us, and it's not a surprise that it happens. It's there. And so the good crop grows, and the weeds also spring up, and that's our experience of life, isn't it? We don't have this holy huddle where there's nothing that can affect us, and we're like in a little bubble. We have to go out from here and interact with people that are maybe not very kind or maybe even evil. And yet that's the way that the kingdom of heaven is. We need to be lights in the world. After our men's Bible study last week, and I said this, I said, well, this was before they had Roundup, which when I lived in Minnesota, there's a term called Roundup Ready Crops. So in order to let the crops grow to the best, the crops are resilient or resistant to Roundup, which can poison all the weeds, and then the crops grow up without any kind of competition. And I said, well, this parable was before Roundup. And then we were talking, it's like, how did they get the name Roundup? Maybe they got it from the parable, because all the weeds get rounded up and burned. I don't know. It's just a theory. But I thought that was a pretty fun thought. We know that Christianity is a battle. C.S. Lewis wrote the classic book called The Screwtape Letters. And in that book, it's a conversation between a junior devil and his superior. and they are after keeping a young man away from believing in Jesus Christ. The fascinating thing about the book is it reveals the tactics that the devil uses. Distraction, just getting them very busy, of saying that prayer doesn't work. All the things that the devil would throw at this young man is what the devil does. It's a battle. Well, if you read the book, you find out in the end, Jesus wins, and this man does become a believer, and the devil is frustrated. But those books and this parable and our experience show that faith is also is a battle. So faith is an adventure, faith is a battle, and faith is a free gift. The word free is used intentionally there. It's not just a gift, it's a free gift. We were born into this world with nothing, completely naked and weak. And when we die, we will also have nothing. But everything that we've been given, what we need, God gives to us. He gives us food and clothing and a family and a place to live. Those are provided by God, and He gives us the ability to make an income so that we can feed our families and thrive and work. And everything we need, He gives us. And when you boil it down in that way, you realize it's all a gift. We're not entitled to it. We're not, we don't have to get it. But it's something that God generously gives us to fulfill us. Just like giving us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's given, and He is not expected. He is the one that gives us faith. Free gift. Back to the verse in Romans that we heard earlier. I think it has one of the greatest nuggets about part of what this free gift entails. It says in verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how we ought to pray, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And the God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Have you ever not known what to pray? I'd say we all have. But this is such a gift. We don't have to have the words, because God knows in our spirit, and the Spirit helps us, even with groans that we can't even comprehend or understand, knows exactly what to pray. We're praying for a loved one who needs surgery. We're praying for someone who has fallen away from God, and we don't know the words anymore of what to say. But the Spirit gives us the ability to pray, to intercede for the saints, to pray as we ought to pray, even if we don't have the words. So friends, to become an active witness, you need to have firsthand experiencing being a child. And that way you know what you're witnessing about. We have some excellent news to share. And when you have excellent news, it's really hard to contain it, isn't it? Have you ever gotten the call from your kids that their baby was born? Do they say, "Oh, and don't tell anybody"? No, it's like, "He's here, she's here. We have a little girl, we have a little boy." That's good news, and you want to share it. And Jesus, the news about Jesus is the most excellent news. In the document that, if you don't have a copy of it yet, it's available. It's called Our Values Document. We put under this section of what does it mean to be an active witness, these four bullet points. First, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to show people how to live a life of love by following Jesus Christ. And we share God's love through inviting people to believe in Jesus. That's how we witness. Serving our community and the world by giving our time, sharing our talents, and contributing to kingdom endeavors. That's how we witness. We witness by abiding with Christ in prayer and relationship. We witness by pushing against the darkness of the world. Speaking to the point of prayer, one of our hopes, and we're actually going to make it a reality, is making a prayer room in our church. And about right underneath where Matt is sitting, no, actually that's not true. about right underneath, right here. Well, there's a room. It's right next to the elevator. It's underneath our church. It undergirds everything, has outside access. And we want to create a prayer room there where people can go and pray with others or by themselves, where people can leave prayer requests and have those things prayed for, where you can come and pray for our church or pray for the needs of your family, invite me or someone else to join you in prayer. But that's how we want to be a church of prayer, because when we pray, things change. And that's how we witness as well. So these past 4 weeks, we fleshed out this aspiration, our hope, that Shepherd of the Hills is a place where people experience good, get to be the living church, and become active witnesses. And to be a witness, well, you need to know what you're witnessing about. The reality about Christianity is it is an adventure. It is a battle, and it is a free gift, which gives you something to think about today. And I want you to think about this as you go home, or you can talk about this over lunch today. How have you experienced faith in Christ as an adventure? What kind of places has God called you because you've been a believer? How have you experienced faith as a battle? Maybe you've had to battle a health concern or something else. How have you seen it as a battle as we fight the devil? And how have you experienced faith as a free gift? Having your answer to those questions are the stories you share with people to be an active witness, to tell your story so that they can find their story. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, thank you for protecting us, dying for us, helping us, knowing that we are forgiven of our sins. And Lord, to not just hold those things inside, but share this good news with your world. Lord, we thank you that you give us the strength to withstand evil forces, to even if they're all around us, that we are not to be overwhelmed. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us an adventure to walk in. And life really is that, because we don't know what even this afternoon will hold. But we do know that you hold the future in your hands. And thank you for the gift of salvation, the gift of everything that we have and everything we've received. Thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can pray to you even when we don't know what to say. We can sigh, and you know exactly what needs to be prayed for. Lord, continue to work in our lives, in our church, and continue, Lord, to show us yourself, that we could be your active witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray.